Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And, you know, technology is an area that we continue to explore, not just from an investment perspective, but also, you know, how is this baby boom generation moves through the medical system as an example? Do we keep up?
Yeah. So let me give you a bit of a story. A few weeks back, I met with one of our clients, Dave, and his wife is going through early signs of memory loss.
Yes.
Okay. So he's concerned. And so what he's concerned about is that when he leaves the home, will she forget things? How to prompt her, remind her? How does he get notified on certain stuff? And so we've been on the search. On behalf of our client, we've been on the search for some sort of technology to help with dealing with this early sign of memory loss. Yep. And so one of the things that that the client and I talked about was reminding her to take her medication or giving her, you know, notifications of things that she has to do or, you know, to remind her on those pieces. And that was part of the concern. And so in our search, and I want to thank our producer, Betty Jo, for going out there and finding this kind of technology out there so we can actually not only share it with our listeners, but mm-hmm. help our clients at the end of the day. And so we've got the technology guy here.
Well, we do. We've got Dr. Alex Mihalidis. He's the scientific director of Canada's Technology and Aging Network. Dr. Mihalidis, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks very much for having me.
All right. You sort of heard our lead up there. We know that technology is an important part of the game here, and it's constantly evolving and changing, certainly in the medical field. There's a new app called Day-to-Day app. Why don't we start with a little bit of an explanation of what that is, and then we can talk about a little bit about the implications of the technology.
Sure. So this is a brand new app that has been just launched through the AgeWell Network by one of our researchers and the app's developer, Dr. Arlene Astle. And this is an app that's really meant to support, just as you just described in your intro, the day-to-day functioning of a person who may be suffering some kind of memory loss or cognitive impairment. Mm-hmm. It's really there to take a very much a holistic approach, so not only reminding people of the everyday tasks that they need to complete, whether it's taking their medications or attending doctor appointments, but also helping them with their cognitive function as well to ensure that perhaps we can maybe slow down any kind of decline that may be seen in the person.
So, I mean, I think this maybe is an obvious question, but you can address it regardless. Maybe give us a kind of a profile of who is meant to use this app and at what stage.
Mm-hmm. So this is really meant for those who are starting to notice maybe some day-to-day memory lapses, maybe an individual who are starting to notice that they're forgetting to do some of their daily activities. Maybe a person who is starting to be a bit more forgetful than is typically considered to be normal with the aging process. So really people more in those earlier stages of cognitive impairment and not so much those who are further along in their dementia or in their Alzheimer's disease, where they'll most likely require more formal and more hands-on care and support.
Yeah, and you made an interesting comment, and this is something I'd like you to address to the extent that you can. This idea of sort of aging and normal forgetfulness versus cognitive impairment. How does somebody who's forgetting the odd thing figure out whether or not this is a problem or this is just I'm just getting older or I'm not paying as close attention?
Mm-hmm. So really, it becomes a problem if it starts to interfere in your daily life, if it's really interfering in you managing, whether it's your finances, whether it's your medication, or even your social relationships with your friends and family. And if that's something that people are really starting to notice, that's when it's time to go see your family physician and to really get assessed more formally.
Okay, yeah, that's probably a good idea. So how was this app developed? Give us a little sense of, I guess you've given a bit of the history, but how is it developed? And when somebody gets involved in it, sometimes technology is a bit scary for people. Kind
Correct.
Of walk us through, what a person would experience as they get on this app and start using it.
Yeah, so this app was designed with the end user in mind. So that is the older adult and their family caregivers. So Dr. Astle, with her research group, has been working on this for many years now, where she has directly involved older adults mm-hmm. with cognitive impairment through the design of the app for itself. So they are the ones who are able to tell her what features and functions it should incorporate. And that's really, really critical, because that then allows not only for more buy-in from your end user into using the app, but also ensure that we address their specific needs. And And that's what's going to make this app stand apart from others that may be currently available. So, you know, in terms of using the app, it's quite simple, quite a simple interface. When a person goes ahead and uses it along with their caregiver or their family members or whoever's providing support to them, it really provides them with very easy options in terms of what to set up, in terms of the reminders that are required, when those reminders should occur, what type of reminder, and then also what types of activities are going to be the most important to be focused on. So it's not trying to do everything for everyone, but really to be tailored to that specific person.
Think about, Dave, how this can be connected with other types of technology. There are apps right now. I have one on my phone that can turn on and off my home alarm, I can see my cameras around my home. I can turn on and off my lights with my phone. Think about that if you're going through this situation and you get these notifications to say, you know, for example, a reminder, right?
Yep.
And you can then switch to the next app that can use that technology to make sure that things go on and off. One thing that when I was growing up and I was going through university, my dad's sister-in-law, so my dad's brother's wife, would call me every single month. How are you doing, Faisal? Everything good? Did you make sure that you turn off the oven every time you're done cooking? This was her concern that I'm going to blow up the building or whatever, right?
Rightfully so, by the way.
Of course, because she knows how I cook. But the point is that was a reminder to me to make sure that I could hear her voice every time I'm in front of that stove to turn it off. And so those types of influences that will come through technology to make sure where you can protect yourself, not only protect, but also prevent other things like too much cost and energy and so on and so forth will actually help. I think these are the things that we need to help because more and more people want to stay in their own home.
Yep.
They don't want to be put in a home. And so with these types of technologies, it makes it become not only comfortable for the person going through that memory loss or that medical situation, but the family around him as well.
Yeah, for sure. And Dr. Mihalides, I'm interested in this app as you're using it. Clearly, it's tracking progress. Is it giving you, as an individual, feedback on areas? Is this data that can be used by your family physician or, you know, somebody specialized in this area of memory loss to help them improve the care that you're receiving?
Absolutely. You know, the type of information we can collect on a person from just understanding how they complete these daily activities is really, really critical in assessing how well they're doing, if they're declining, or perhaps even if an intervention is actually having a positive effect on someone.
Okay. I think that's, I mean, it ultimately has to link back to some quality of care that we can improve. And is there enough data in at this particular point to be able to speak to early results?
So right now the app is being beta tested within the Durham region here in Ontario. And so through that data collection, they'll collect further evidence that supports the effectiveness of this app. But so far, things are looking really, really positive.
Okay, that's excellent. Where can somebody get a hold of this app if they want to?
So the best way is to connect with the AgeWell Network is to reach out to us through our website. That's www.agewell-nce.ca. And then through that, we can connect you with the development team who can connect them with the app itself.
That's terrific. I want to thank you very much for taking some time with us today. This, you know, these kinds of technologies, I think, are going to become absolutely critical as, you know, this demographic that we call the baby boomers continues to age and experience these results. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
All right. We've been joined by Dr. Alex Mihalides, who is the Scientific Director of Canada's Technology and Aging Network. And again, thank you to Betty Jo for finding, you know, technology applications, Faisal, that are helping not just our clients, but spread the word to people who are being affected by, you know, these various medical conditions.
You know, we had a seminar last Tuesday, and we had two sessions because it was really packed, and we had to open up a second session. And one of the questions we ask are, what are the biggest risks that you feel concerned about going through retirement? And time and time again, we keep on hearing health being a big issue.
Sure.
And their concern is not only the quality of the care in the future or the availability of that care in the future, but also how can they fund it? How can they afford that type of quality of care? And so when you build an asset dedication strategy, a portfolio that actually can handle that situation in the future and you plan for it, then you've had that peace of mind knowing that in the event that was to occur, you've got a strategy in place. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to discuss the asset dedication process on Tuesday, November 20th, 7 p.m. at the Crowfoot Co-op Wine and Spirits. Now you need to reserve your seats. So remember, this got sold out very quickly. It'll probably be sold out by the time this thing
not
airs.
Not sold out. It's free.
Full.
It's
a, not, full. Yeah, full. Sorry. That poor choice of word. Full. And so we don't know if we're going to be able to open up a second session. So please give us a call to register. 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or go on our website at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Stick around after the break if you're interested in understanding how you might be affected under Trump's tax changes. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.